Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live from beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota.
It's a Merry Christmas fantasy. Come and take a Christmas ride with me. Sing a Merry Christmas joy to me. It's a Merry Christmas fantasy. Merry, Merry Christmas, my Christmas tree. Come and sing a Christmas song with me. It's a salutatious mystery. Merry, Merry Christmas, my Christmas tree. And the wind that kept on blowing, Rudolph got in the sleigh. The snow, it kept on growing, but Santa knew the way. A Merry Christmas family, a true delicious set of wishes harmony, around and around and around with me. You're my Merry Christmas family. Oh, la 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 la. The gleaming of their eyes, the happy thoughts of knowing of the morning's big surprise. Oh, it's a Merry Christmas fantasy. Come and take a Christmas ride with me. Think of Merry Christmas yet to be. It's a Merry Christmas fantasy. Oh, la 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 la.
Happy Red Ice Christmas, everybody. This is a holiday that some of you celebrate holidays that come once a year, and this is a holiday that's only coming once. And it is my pleasure to have a guest on tonight, and when you see his site and get to hear him, you'll know why I have him on for the whole hour. He has a wealth of information to share with us. And he lives in Sweden. He's a musician, a graphic artist, a painter, filmmaker, editor, and webmaster of one of my favorite websites. And if you haven't seen this yet, you got to check it out, and I mean check it out now. Red-ice.net. Again, red-ice.net. And it is my pleasure to introduce to you Henrik Palmgren.
Hello, Christopher. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Ah, super.
Thanks for creating a holiday with me.
Yeah, it's great to be on, actually.
Yeah.
I'm honored to be with you and all your listeners.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It's our honor as well. It's great to have this time, and I wanted to have plenty of time to talk with you, and just because I know you have so much to share. My first question is, what does Red Ice Christmas mean to you?
That's a good question. What does it mean to me? Well, we could start by the name, actually, Red Ice, if you want to.
Sure.
It's a kind of a strange name. My site, when I first started it, it was kind of an art project, myself and a friend, about 2-3 years ago. Time moves so fast, so I can't keep track of it. But I guess 2 or 3 years ago.
So you were starting with some other people as well?
Yeah, a friend of mine. But as it turned out, I was the one who
took it over.
Took it over, kind of. But not. It was a kind of a good agreement, I guess. So, but he's still welcome, of course. But the name is actually at that time I was reading quite a bit about Earth changes and coming. Ice ages and such.
Uh-huh.
About you know, the slowing down of the Gulf Stream and that kind of information. So the name is born from I was having, you know, weird I guess bad dreams about a coming ice age.
Huh.
And it's kind of a dark story actually, but and on top of that, as a result in my dream, or as a result of that scarcity in a coming ice age, I guess people were fighting over the resources.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of in a symbolic.
And this was in your dreams.
Yeah, sure. and in a symbolic kind of matter, I just. Boiled it down to one concept, and that became red ice. So I guess you know the mail that you sent me about the Russian World War II
thing? Yeah, just for some reason it invoked in me ideas of you know, I've read a lot about World War II, and when I think about the Eastern Front, red ice for some reason just seems to apply there as well.
Exactly. That's kind of it is in that fashion, but different take on it actually. So,
yeah.
So it's a bit of a strange and kind of a dark name actually, but things have evolved now. And
yeah. I mean, it definitely, to me now it means, well, just like with my own website, creativecosmos.org. I don't think I've mentioned it tonight. And if you're trolling through the internet right now, you might want to check it out there. I have Henrik put together a really interesting compilation of articles just for the Creative Cosmos, or for everybody, but he did it especially in for the listeners and readers of the Creative Cosmos, and I have it right on the main page. And it's called Holiday History Article, A Red Ice Christmas, and I really encourage everybody to check that out too, because it goes into the deeper history of Christmas before what we know as our common images.
Yes, that's right. It's I've been posting a few articles throughout the week actually, and a few of those are included in that little article series there. So I try to, you know, it kind of when you're on the kind of path, I guess that I am. I'm just so curious about everything right now, so I just search on all kinds of information, and I guess this is kind of the first year I really have kind of jumped on the Christmas issue and to sort out the myths of and the surroundings and the background.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I always say about that is, might hurt a little bit once you let go of the more simplistic idea, but everything that was in the simplistic idea is there and more once you understand the deeper meaning.
Exactly. I can agree more. I mean, just to take a few examples, the concept of the Santa Claus, of course, is I just began reading about it a few days ago, and it's a fantastic mess of myths and symbolic different guides that have been included through different periods and, of course, in different regions of the Earth. So you've got the, of course, the Saint Nicholas from the Orthodox saint,
right,
included. And you got the old kind of shaman type man. The
I like that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, because I don't know if you heard about it, but we got in the Norse mythology, that's a dude called Odin. And he also goes by the name of Wodan or Wotan sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And I guess a few of the, you know, the Coca-Cola Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A few of those pictures. He who drew that actually is a descendant from a Swedish.
Oh, wow.
So he drew those in the 20s or 30s, I guess. And I it's only my guess actually, but I think that he incorporated some of the Odin his appearance in those images.
Yeah. Those are pretty striking images. Those.
Yeah, they are. I got a few. If anyone out there listening wants to go to the site red-ice.net, as you mentioned,
yeah,
and or through your site and visit this article page, I put three different image galleries up there, right up the front there, and there are some striking images there.
Yeah, I was going through them today, getting ready to interview you, and there are all kinds of your galleries are set up really really well, and it's I see, like, in your site that you really play with symbolism.
That's right. I try to I guess it comes with the territory nowadays, I guess, because I've been studying secret societies and Freemasonic information for quite a while too now.
Yeah.
And once you see the matrix, so to speak, you see these things everywhere.
Yeah, I know. I kind of came into that a couple of years ago myself, and I think that's where you and I kind of realized that in each other, that we were kind of playing with some of the same kind of ideas and on the same track with this thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's fascinating. I mean, there's so much in this entire story. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the classical one of those images of the Santa is when he does the wink, and only one eye is showing. Do you have any recollection of such images?
Which one? Can you say that again, please?
The one where Santa does a wink, you know. Only,
oh, yeah, only yeah.
That's pretty much the Coca-Cola Santa, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But I guess that also is that is some kind of symbolic through the to the all-seeing eye, just one eye, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly, Wodan or Odin, he had lost one eye. So symbolically, it was that one eye was seeing inward and one eye was seeing outward. So that's why sometimes you see Santa with just doing that wink. So one eye is visible and the other one is not. So it's
wow. I guess I never looked at Santa Claus quite that way. But
No, me neither. Until just a few days ago when I saw so it's really crazy when you start looking at it, because I don't know if do you guys have something called a Yule log?
A Yuletide log?
Yeah, Yule log. It's something you know, you threw a log on the fireplace.
Right, right.
And they call it Yule log. I don't know if it's
some kind of holidays, maybe because it resonates a warmth that goes with the holiday spirit or something like that.
Exactly. Allegedly it's you burn the last log, the kind of the stump of the tree, and out of that grows a new tree. From where we get the classic Christmas tree, of course.
Yeah.
It's a pine tree that grows up from the ashes. It's kind of a phoenix thing, I guess, also incorporated in that. And that goes right back to Queen Semiramis and Nimrod, old Babylonian symbolism and mythology.
Yeah, I recently came into, I guess I read some of the David Icke books in the last few years, and they gave some background into all that, and that was kind of a newer thing for me.
Absolutely, it's so much in. I mean, the story about Horus, the Egyptian sun god, and
right, uh-huh.
And Krishna also. So it's kind of I don't really understand how Santa is is incorporated into that symbolism, but somehow we got him today.
I don't know. I guess it must be some kind of modern incarnation of some kind of I don't know. I know what you mean. It's kind of strange. It's skewed, but I guess it's a skewed device for a skewed time.
Exactly. I mean, it's, you could draw it back to the winter solstice theme,
right?
And Saturnalia is a Roman, Greek, Babylonian, also Babylonian holiday or worship, I guess. And Saturn, of course, is very similar to the word Santa, and even Satan, of course.
Yeah.
It's a bit strange. I guess they, even the laughter, you know, the ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
There is a thing in Saturnalia when you say, I owe Saturnalia three times. So if you do that fast, it becomes like, I owe, I owe, I owe. So I guess it's not so far-fetched to go through from there to ho, ho, ho.
Oh, man. So it's some, almost like a, some kind of spell or something.
Yeah. It's a bit scary, actually, because there is the classical, I don't know if you heard about it, but the, as I mentioned earlier, the Saint Nicholas, the the Orthodox saint who sometimes incorporated into the story. He was one who gave gifts to orphans and sick children and such.
Right.
And he had allegedly he had a helper who was called Black Pete. I don't know if you heard about it. He's called I think Schwarzpeter in Dutch.
Oh, I don't think I've heard of that one.
He was actually
that was his helper?
Yeah, he was the one who punished those who hadn't been nice.
Oh.
So it's kind of a
how military. Bad was the punishment?
Yeah, I don't know actually, but if you are to punish someone, you're not welcome through the front door. So I guess that is when you go through the chimney. I don't know.
Shame you to have to go through the chimney.
Yeah, go through the chimney. And I guess he also used to dress up as Santa. So he used to disguise himself as the good guy, so to speak. But
right.
He was the bad guy. So
so I guess, you know, kind of you were talking about all these forms or all these people or different traditional figures mixed into one. It's kind of like the modern day Santa is some kind of an archetype, and therefore it does have some existence and substance of its own.
Exactly. Yes, I think so. I mean, if anyone wants to dig deeper into this, I suggest going through that link page of that I got, and I got also on there a superb, I gotta recommend it, a superb lecture by two guys, one named Jan and the other one named Andrew. It's called Pharmacratic Inquisition, and it goes through some of these myths that I've mentioned, but it also goes into the mushroom theme of Christmas. I don't know if you ever heard about that.
Well, I did encounter it once when I was listening. I think I was listening to a Coast to Coast years ago, Coast to Coast AM show years ago with Terrence McKenna on it. And I think it was either that or a tape. I think I heard Terrence McKenna talk about that. And that was the first I had ever heard of that. And then I saw that you had included that in the links. And I was really interested in hearing your thoughts about it or what that's all about.
Yeah, it's an amazing story there too. I guess it's I first heard about it through a guy named James Arthur. He has also been on Coast a few times, I guess, and on
okay.
And he has kind of picked up, I guess, on some of the work that Jordan Maxwell have done, and also on another guy called John Allegro. I got links to these people at the bottom.
Okay, and that's all in the Red Ice Christmas area.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Which I have linked, and you have linked. Let me give it again one more time, the creativecosmos.org. I have it linked on the front. And we're referring to some of these things as we're talking about it. You might want to look at the pictures, because there are some really interesting pictures to go with what we're talking about on the Red Ice site under that link. I think I have it called Holiday History Link, a Red Ice Christmas. And then Henrik's got it right up on the top of his site, so it's easy to see.
Yeah, so go there and check it out, because it's really interesting. And this, I guess it all started with this guy called John Allegro, who apparently was one of the three original people who was supposed to translate the Dead Sea Scrolls when they found those in the 40s.
Oh yeah, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Uh huh.
Yeah, and I don't remember when he did it, but I guess he dropped out for some reason in that project, and in the 60s or 70s he released a book called Sacred Mushroom and the Cross, and it was why he was fiercely attacked after that, I guess, and the book was bought up by some big fancy printing corporation, or what do you call it, and it wasn't widely distributed at that time.
But mm-hmm.
A lot of his information goes into the fact that the old the Canaanites and the Phoenicians and the old Hebrew tribes that lived in Cana and around where Israel, Syria, and Iraq is today.
Oh, okay.
Those people were heavily involved in kind of shamanism and allegedly used some of these hallucinogenic mushrooms, like the Amanita muscaria, and there are a number of other psychedelic mushrooms. And he was convinced that that most of the symbolism behind the biblical story has some kind of relationship to these kind of effects that the mushrooms had on the priests who took them. So it's a fascinating story there.
Okay, yeah, I know what you mean. Hey, let's hold that right there,
yeah.
And we're gonna listen to one of your tunes, because we got a couple of your tunes in there. I really enjoyed them today, and I want to make sure we got a good room to. And it's a good place to leave everyone hanging. We'll pick right up there. But let's play your song, and it's under the name Leak.
Yeah.
Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah, that's right.
Leak, and we'll get back to that too, and find out what that's all about and how that relates to your art, music, and filmmaking projects you are thinking of for the future. So let's listen to the tune Surplus by Leak Henrik.
Thank you.
we're back. Henrik, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Fine. that was Surplus playing there. It's an old tune I did about two years ago now, and it's really it's very simple lyric wise. It's the song is about you know, the the surplus all around us, not just the physical but also the more spiritual surplus, you know, all the nonsense and how we tend to drown in it when we add stuff instead of taking away and making things easier and more lighter, you know.
Yeah, we just have to, the word that comes to my mind while you're saying that is abundance, and just opening up to that, opening up to that power or that possibility.
Exactly. Yes, I've noticed in my life right now, I noticed that it's much easier everything if I take away things instead of adding. You know, before it was like I was thinking that to make things more or better, you have to add stuff all the time.
Right.
And but it's so simple, just the other way around. Take away stuff and remove all the nonsense, and things will come clear and easy.
Right, that's very Buddhist in a way. The meditation, you just kind of see all the things that you aren't.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to ask you while I had you on. I know you posted some articles about this, and you've even posted a few of mine that touch on these topics, but you see again and again this idea that we're moving from like from 3D vibrations up into the 5D vibrations, or people talk about it different ways, with the astral plane being in between. What's your take on that, or what do you think is going on with the influx of energy?
Oh, very good question. I mean. Obviously, I think at this time there is some kind of change, an incoming, as you say, vibrational change almost. And what it is or where it is taking us, I don't know yet. I guess we're moving, as you say, from the more dense type, 3D type, heavy material towards a lighter vibration, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this means that we're going to evolve beyond the physical body, or how long if we are moving in that direction, how long that will take. And I mean, it's all, we might just be experiencing the small subtle changes that might spawn across thousands or millions of years. I don't know. And we might be very sensitive to those energies, because we're so such an intricate part of the Earth and the energy that is involved in our entire planet. So it could be that we are changing with the planet, and I guess that the planet and our entire solar system are moving into a higher vibration, a higher state. I know that some people refer it to the photon belt. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
The photon belt, and also I heard the other day that allegedly the solstice at 2012, winter solstice, our solar system will be lined up with the entire galaxy, or our sun will have its axis straight across towards the central point of our galaxy.
Mm.
So I don't know if that could be the case.
We just moved within 7 years of that event, December 21st, 2012. Yeah. What effect do you think? Well, like you were speaking about how we're feeling also the change of the energy of the Earth too, like we're kind of sharing the experience of change in our area of the solar system. And I think that I go along with that idea, too, that it's not just us, but it's a big earth change, and could have to do with energy from the sun. I know I've, I like seeing on your site when I go there how you always have a link to what the sun's up to and what the moon's up to and stuff like that.
Thank you. I like to track that because I think it's, I mean, it is, what is it, 99.8% of our solar system, the sun. So, I mean, when it changes, we change. It's that simple.
Yeah.
So I guess if our sun is very affected by the central point in our galaxy, then it can be a good clue, so to speak, to keep an eye on the sun, I guess.
Yeah, what are you talking about the sun? What do you think about the sun as a being? I mean, if we consider that it's 99.8% of our solar system, and we have the consciousness we have, I myself believe that that sun has a very high level of consciousness.
Absolutely. I mean, I could almost make a comical point back to the Christmas story here, just to to round it up, you know, because obviously the light of our world is the S-O-N. And the S-U-N, the sun or the son of God.
Right, I've seen that too, yeah.
And obviously the birth of the sun occurs on the 25th of every year, because that is on the 21st, it is on the lowest point on the horizon. And then after 3 days of being symbolically dead, I guess, in the tomb,
right,
it rises again on the 25th. So that is because symbolically they put Jesus' birthday on the 25th.
Yeah.
So that is kind of just tied up around back to the to Christmas.
And there's absolutely no disputing those that what you just said. That is the truth.
That is the truth. And of course, as you said, I read a few articles about it recently, actually, that the sun is a live being, and who this also ties in with the Jesus story, that the sun gives its life so that we can live, and that is a kind of religious theme, if you
right. And you know, myself, I could totally see like the Jesus, the person being tuned into solar consciousness.
Yeah.
And thereby blending those things as making them both be true.
Exactly.
Sun,
exactly.
S-O-N, and sun, S-U-N.
Exactly. And that is why, because I think it's, I'm in no way disputing the fact that there might be a guy called Jesus who walked around and had great teachings, obviously, but,
right.
But these things tend to, if you take kind of, I guess, a Gnostic view, of it, you have the so above, so below concept.
Right. Uh-huh.
And,
many traditions.
Yeah, exactly. There. And in that, you incorporate that the sun is, reincarnated onto this plane, as God himself and walks around among us and then there he is in the sky also. So it's above and below at the same time, I guess. And I don't know ultimately if the sun is the concept of the God in our religious scriptures. I don't know if
I really do. We can't say it absolutely as the only thing, but I really do. You know, you go back to Egypt and you know the Ra, and what I think Ra was or Ra is, because nothing goes anywhere, or you know how they worshiped the sun back then, or even in Greek culture as well, that is the persona, so to speak, or the aesthetic of the entity. That I've written about this or expressed this before, about how you take a being like the sun, it isn't going to just walk up to you and say hello. It might zoom a stream of thoughts through your head or something, but you have to kind of go meet. That's one thing as humans. We got to meet the other energies where they're at. If we speak to animals, we got to meet them. If we speak to the planets, we got to meet them. We just got to learn how to tune in to their frequency and their energy.
Absolutely. Could this then in that case tie in with what we talked about earlier with this with the mushroom thing?
Yeah.
I don't know if you necessarily have to take drugs to talk to God, but I mean in the
Oh, it's all right. I mean I know I think the shamanic tradition of where they use the various forms of mushroom or psychedelic drugs is very valid. You know, you just have to know it's a device to kind of point you in a direction.
Exactly, exactly. And I mean, there is the old tradition that the shamans, you know, focused on the pole star at the North Pole.
Uh-huh.
To be kind of, if you, I've seen time lapse photographs of this. The pole star at the North Pole is kind of the end of a tunnel. I don't know if you've seen those pictures. It's a timeless photography of the stars as the Earth spin.
Yeah, I've seen things like that before.
It sounds like this huge tunnel, you know.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I saw. Just clicked in the visual in my mind, like how it wraps around that circle point, and they all come around there. But then, yeah, I've never quite thought about it that way. That's pretty good.
So it could be something to tie it up there with the whole concept of the god or even then I guess Santa, the shaman, living up in the north, you know, at the north.
Oh yeah,
pole.
Through that portal.
Yeah, through that portal, exactly, and he is the one who brings the gifts, you know, and
the gifts of wisdom and knowledge through these things which provoke that in a human being.
Yeah, I mean, you even put the presents under the tree, right? And that's where the mushrooms grow, under certain pine trees. So when you open the presents, it's symbolic of opening your mind, you know. And then you can, the Christmas tree, you can climb the tree.
Right, of your chakra system or...
Exactly, and it's kind of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Well, they'll definitely blast open your third eye.
Exactly, exactly. And it's a star right there on top.
And, you know, somehow related to this topic, it came to me... that we are like living constellations in that sense, you know, how you're talking, we and the stars in the sky and all the things are just all just kind of stars hanging there on a graph, and we can relate through our own stars to other stars or through those energy points ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, one could say that through the astrology, you know, the charts, it's kind of like that when you are born, you have your own personal, you know, chart. It's like what do you call it, your own like you have in computers.
Oh, natal chart.
Yeah, kind of, you know, your
the imprint of energies when you were born.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's your personal circuit board.
Right.
And in that circuit board, the energy of the world, the electric charge of the world is processed depending on when you are born and where you are born, everybody have a different, you know, circuit board.
Yeah, and that's easy for me to follow, and I sensible, clear. It doesn't seem at all to be, it makes total sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I mean, it's fascinating when you begin to study these things. How you think you're lost, so to speak, at one point when you studied the mythology behind different things, but then you discover that the things kind of dovetails with each other, and somewhere along the line. All the things connect in a strange sort of way.
Yeah, they do. You know, I don't know if you've been noticing in my writing sometime lately, I've been kind of summing things up, like the whole of history and sweeping gestures, kind of kind of the point is to underscore those currents, how those currents just go through very many phases through the times and where they're happening. But some of these currents can easily be seen in not such a, you know, sometimes we think of history in a big sense, but now after reading so much and being exposed to all the information and doing what you do and what I do and every day, how we just see all this information, it just ends up having an effect. The history doesn't seem like such a big deal. It's like, yeah, a few things happened, and now we're here. What are we going to do?
Exactly. Yes, I couldn't agree more. I mean, your writing is, I have to commend you on it, because it's great. I mean, I love to read your stuff, and I'm honored to post it on my site. It's articles that you write that make my site great.
The first time I saw that you had picked one of my articles, it definitely boosted my confidence and encouraged me to continue, and I'm glad to thank you for supporting me with your site and taking the interest you have in my work. And I'll tell you, especially when you did it, when you first brought attention to it, it was a really important time for me, so I'd like to thank you for that.
Thank you. Great. It's my pleasure. I mean, it's really great, because it's beyond it's all that I'm looking for right now. It's those kind of things that are beyond all the false dichotomy, so to speak, and beyond, as you call it, the transcendence.
Right.
We have to move beyond the all the false paradigms now. And it's, as you say, we have the world at the fingertips right now. I mean, the library that the internet is the greatest library in the history of the world, probably. I don't know, but it feels like that somehow.
Yeah. And it's all there. And I'm glad you brought up that, the transcendence idea, because I think, you know, that I've been building it more in the transcendenceworldmovement.com website. I've been working really hard on that. And that's part of the idea, is just that, okay, we get it.
Exactly. I saw that site the other day, and I saw my link right on that page. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Thank you. And to go back to what you said earlier there, because history doesn't seem, as you say, like a big deal in a kind of strange way, I guess. I mean, we have, I guess that it's our job right now also to kind of sum up the, I don't know if we should call it the age, because it's so low, that expression, the new age. But I mean, I can't deny it in some sense.
Yeah, keep going, man. I love what you're saying. I totally agree with
it. It is a new age, and I think we have a choice right now between the a false new age and I don't want to say correct new age, but a transcendent new age, so to speak. And we have to move beyond the concepts of all the fake things that we are being offered right now. That I think in some sense that is the Bible is prophetic in that sense, that it says that in the end times it will be many false prophets.
Yeah, it's the end of the old. It's end times for all the old ideas.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Doesn't mean we can't benefit from what was good in them and incorporate it into the new vision, but we have a huge shift and a huge new awareness with the information age. And yeah, I love that when you're saying that, you know, that's what our job is. And that's what I think, how you and I have felt this connection from America to Europe, and this bond between each other, because we realized kind of together in a way that that's what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I didn't realize what I was doing until halfway through the process, so to speak. I just knew that this is important in some sense, and I want to do my part. I want to contribute and just try to wade through all the nonsense and try to reach the core of things and just demythologize things, but at the same time I don't want to demystify them.
Exactly. So that was a great way to say it.
Thank you. It's very exciting, actually. I must say, it's a very exciting time. It's a cliche, but I know, you know, we're moving to this, towards this 2012 date, and rapidly so. And my hunch is that we are going to see things that are become to the ordinary man, if I can generalize, it will seem like very strange. That's all I can say. It will seem kind of, you know, mythological events almost.
Well, to some extent, it's kind of already pushing on people all over the place. I mean, to deny it, it's like they have to try harder and harder and harder to deny it, but that makes them more and more of a pressure cooker. And it's not that it's not the phenomenon that's doing it to them. It's their own inability to open up to life in the moment.
Exactly. And that is a dangerous thing, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's very serious. And because I've noticed that people get locked in. They get locked in a closed state. They just can't get... I mean, I guess it's for some people and maybe younger souls, it's a big deal to realize that you're not just who you thought you were.
Exactly. I mean, I always get a bit suspicious when people get almost violently angry when you try to just speak to them about certain things. I mean, I'm not pushing them in any way, but I can sense it almost instantly that they are almost hostile to certain kind of information.
And that's an important point. Let's take that and show how it. I mean, we have to be willing to keep saying it and not be scared off by like poor reaction or something.
Exactly. Yeah, we gotta. We gotta do what we are doing, I guess.
Yeah.
and try to just open, maybe try to offer the information if for those who are ready to receive it, I guess.
And that's a good lead into your other tune here, Rosetta Stone. And let's, because that's what it's all about. Like you say, we're decoding, but keeping the mystic wonder about it and breathing magic back into life and all that we hoped it could be, it is. So here's another tune by Henrik called Rosetta Stone.
Thank you.
Hello again, everybody. We're back, and that was Rosetta Stone by Leek, the artistic name for Henrik Palmgren, our guest tonight. And I just want to take a second before we get into the closing segment here to greet our European audience. I've heard from some of you, got some emails, and noticed a couple of my articles here and there on some new sites, the Nibiru site, and as always, Snowdle, and you know how you never want to leave anyone out, but I just want you to know that it means a lot to me, and I love you all, and I think about you, and I'm always thinking of ways we can unite, I believe, America and Europe, and like I believe the transcendence is what we initially will bring Americans and Europeans together, because there's absolutely no reason we should have any discrepancy, in my view.
Yeah, I can agree more. I mean, come together. I guess it's an old tune, but it's
oh yeah. Well, I love Lennon, and some of my songs, I feel like I'm kind of expanding on his work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to. Get over the borders and stop seeing it as nations. I mean, I think it was Wayne Dyer said on a round planet there is no choosing of sides. So I think we have to adopt that concept. And
right. I mean, that's why that one idea I have of how it's eventually going to just come down to the city, because the city is the thing that's real.
Yeah, it's what do you call it? Organ in a body, almost. It works.
Right.
Everybody in the city works together. The city functions and is maintained in itself. And
right. I mean, I'm really big on trying to establish like systems, like whatever is deemed to be the most efficient system that should then become standardized. Things like that.
Yeah, I mean, to cut off. The unnecessary transportation things, and I mean, began to grow things locally, food, and try to maintain energy sources locally. I mean, that's a huge solution to many of the world's problems right there, I think.
Just getting back to what's real.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the beauty of Zen, too. I mean, it just, and like what you said, you know, you just get rid of all the, instead of doing something in a proactive sense, you just kind of remove things that obscure your vision.
Yeah, exactly.
And before it's too late here for tonight, I want to hear some of the materials that have helped kick in this growth experience and awareness that you're obviously experiencing and sharing with the world. What are some of the things that helped you get to this point and sustain you in your mission?
I have to say, I mean, there are almost silly things that started this process, but I must mention it. The first Matrix movie.
Oh, yeah.
Came out. I mean, that was, it was amazing when I first saw that. It was, like a visual representation of what I was feeling in a symbolic way. And I guess.
You and probably many people.
Yeah, I guess so. It's scary when you think of it, but it is almost, that some kind of higher force planted that movie and the concepts behind it.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing movie, and that it demonstrates something that we've now incorporated into our lexicon.
Yeah, exactly. If you can look beyond the violence and the macho stuff, there is a profound story there, and one can learn a lot from looking at it, I think. But beyond that movie, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. But beyond that movie, I guess that after that, I began reading, as you said, a few Ike books, actually, and some Jim Morris.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at the bookshelf right now here. See if we can see what's up there.
That's always fun.
Yeah. Jeremy Norby, he wrote a book called The Cosmic Serpent. really great stuff. It's kind of a shaman DNA kind of story about the origins of DNA. And it's,
right. I mean, there's no question that people are biocomputers of some sort, and the DNA is somehow part of the basic program.
Yeah, of course.
And all this information is helping to trigger parts of ourselves that were already kind of there, but yet not set in motion.
I mean, if anybody out there goes to my site and check the, I have a link called the Essential Archive, and under there is a DNA link, and I've gathered a few articles there about some of this that you're touching upon now, about how DNA is affected by our thoughts and our words and what it actually is. It's a fascinating subject.
Yeah, I recommend everybody, and we'll have to leave it there for tonight, but yeah, please visit Henrik's site, www.red-ice.net. It's part of my daily web visits, and visit my sites, creativecosmos.org, transcendenceworldmovement.com. As always, thanks to Don for all his hard work and the vision that helps us express on such a wide scale and reach people all over the world. It's just amazing. And Henrik, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Christopher. It's been great.
And we will keep working together, and neither one of us are going anywhere, right?
That's right.
Okay, man. Thanks a lot. And let's end the show here with some good vibes, a tune of mine called We'll Bring the Good Times Back. Good night, everybody.
1, 2, 3. We'll bring the good times back. We'll bring the good times back. We'll bring the good times back.
Listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.